Solomon spent his life doing scientific and philosophical research. He learned a lot. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, the teaching pastor for Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio, and thank you for joining us here today. Solomon advised young men that God holds them accountable for the decisions they make and the paths they follow. Turn with us to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, and here's Pastor Jim.
Solomon is now as old or older than I am. And he has spent the first part of his life walking under the shadow of God's provision, enjoying God's fullness of blessing. God blessed him, blessed him, blessed him, blessed him, and then he turned away from God and went bad, 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 bad. Now he's giving his report, and he's saying, young men, rejoice while you're young. Let your heart be glad in the days of youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sights of your eyes. That is, you have a capacity and a responsibility to choose. God gives you that. But choose wisely, because know that for all these things, the things that you choose to do, God will bring you to judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow. That means the things that aren't going to be profitable to you in the day you stand before God in judgment. The things that are not going to bring you lasting satisfaction, joy, and peace. Understand, those choices are foolish. Remove them from your heart and put away sin from your flesh, because youth and the prime of life are fleeting. So remember your Creator in the days of your youth. That is, get started in this process young and then stay with it. Don't make a fool of yourself as I've made a fool of myself. Now, you read along, and here you come to this incredible knot, this incredible anchor, this incredible thing that locks it all in. And what Solomon is saying to these young people in his audience, he's saying, remember your Creator. Can you think of other places where that word remember occurs in your Bible? Let me refresh your mind, because it has much more involved in it than just, wow, I'd forgotten about that, now I remember. The word remember that is used here occurred, for instance, in a dark hour at a place called Calvary. In the center of three crosses was a man who was dying. On each side there were thieves. One of them said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What did that mean? Did he mean when Jesus, when your experience on the cross is done, and you are actually in your kingdom, where your kingship is actually recognized and you're ruling and reigning. Tip one for me. Is that what he's saying? That's not what he's saying. He's saying what? He's saying, bring to your mind me and my need. He's saying, meet all the needs that I have so that I can be with you in that kingdom. And you remember how Jesus responded? Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't say, tell you what, buddy, when I get to paradise here in just a few minutes, I'll wink one at you, because I'll have other things on my mind, other things I need to be doing. That's not what he said. He said, I heard what you said. The concept of remember meant to understand all that I am, understand what nothing I have to give you. Understand, I confess that you are who you claim to be. Understand, I now understand that you are dying in some measure for me and for my sins. And when you enter into the victory part of your life, when this moment is past and you are reigning as king, remember me. And Jesus said, you will be with me. That's remembering. Same word is used back there in the days of Noah, where the Bible says that Noah was on the ark. The seas came and the floods came and all of that. And the text simply says, and God remembered Noah and all that was on the ark. What does that mean? The God had a flash in heaven and said, Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, name is Noah. Yeah, neat guy. Went on about his business. No. That word means that God, in the midst of this chaotic upheaval, the global flood, that God cared for every need by his extended grace and power for every moment Noah, his wife, their three sons, three daughters-in-laws, and all those animals were on the ark. That's what that means. And that's what Solomon is telling young people to do. Remember your Creator. Know who he is. Understand his grace and power, his love and his righteousness and his holiness. Enter into those things and claim them for yourself. That's what he's saying. Because he is your Creator. During the moments that I was being awakened to the to Ecclesiastes a month ago, I was standing at the end of the dock looking out and watching the waves on the Gulf, and storm was coming in, lightning and all that. Standing, I thought, you know, it's been a long time since Jim Custer turned off the TV, turned off the radio, sat down in a quiet spot, closed his eyes, and realized, I am made. I am created. Everything about me was controlled. I was anticipated before I was conceived. I was anticipated and prepared for in the life of my grandfather, my great-grandmother, my great-great-grandmother, my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother. In fact, when Noah went on the ark, God saw me in the human chain. It didn't just happen. You had no control over anything that brought you here. You didn't need to choose the color of your hair, where you would be born, the height of your stature, the sex. None of that was your choice. You are the byproduct of a creator. What do you think? Did a pretty good job, didn't you? Huh? What do you think? I'm serious. Go home and look in the mirror tonight and say, God, you did something fantastic, and mean it, because he really did. You have capacities. You have a future ahead of you as a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. You can't imagine. You have little, no concept. I have absolutely little inkling of what I'm going to be like 100 billion years from today, but I'm going to be very much alike. I have clues in Scripture. And they excite me beyond revelation. They excite me beyond vocabulary. So do you. You have a creator. He is your creator. He created you. You are a planned, purposed, prepared, pre-selected, personally created in your mama's womb. Have you ever done that? Go ahead. Dare you this week. Find a place, turn off the phone. If you can, look in a mirror and say, Jim, yeah, you right there in that mirror. Yeah, you. You have a creator. And he's the same one who created the chair in which you're sitting, the air that you are breathing, the soil, the food, the stars, the home he's prepared for you in heaven. Now sit there and soak on that a little bit. Remember your creator, not just, oh yeah, I'm created, and not just, boy, he did a pretty good job, but who is your creator like, and how much are you like your creator? Remember your creator in the days of your youth, and it's the next phrase that makes me cry. Remember your creator in the days of your youth before the days of adversity come, and they are coming. You may have had a good day today. Bad days are coming. Days of adversity. The sources of that adversity, you already know. The devil and his angels and his schemes and his cunning and his lying, fallen men, fallen women, fallen creatures, on and on and on and on and on and on the list goes. The process of the old man that's decaying, that's dying, he goes on to describe the physical outward expression of that very poetically, the physical expression of what's happening to Jim Custer and to you at your age. Listen to my record. Here, Jim, the days of adversity have come. The years have approached when I will say, I have no delight in them. Have you ever had a day like that? I mean, serious? There was nothing today that really gave me delight. It was boring. It was blah, 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 blah. Now, sometimes as Christians, we've been snookered out of being honest with ourselves. Christians have bad days. Days of adversity. And they come at us from a whole variety of external things, and they come from us from inside. I don't hear as well as I used to. Lost my hearing aids, and going to fix that Thursday, and I'll be able to hear what you're thinking again. But right now, I'm down to one hearing aid, and I can barely hear. That's why when you're talking to me, I keep turning around this way, you know, shout it in there, because there's none over here now, see? This one blew up. Got to get back to two. Now, that's an adversity. See these? I need a new pair. My vision's getting... See these? They're yellow. Oh, I think it is so interesting that people my age are whitening their teeth, making them look like... Well, what do you... I won't talk about coloring hair. Just let that one go by. I'll talk about absence of hair, yeah. Here's the point. I'm not like I was when I was 16, neither are you. I'm not like what I was when I was 26. I'm not like what I was when I was 46. I'm not like I was when, go any place back there. And I tell you what, Solomon is saying to all of us, you better get in this process of thinking about your Creator and what He expects. You better begin to align your life after His expectations, because He's going to judge what you have done. And by the way, anything that you do that doesn't please Him is going to bother you, because He set eternity in your heart. You have a conscience. And no matter how seared it may become, no matter how bad you may be, no matter what corrupt and terrible things you may consent to and agree to, you're always going to be restless, dissatisfied, you're going to be troubled. What a practical passage. So, young man, the days of adversity are going to come. The years are going to approach when you will say, I take no delight in them. Before the sun and the light are darkened, and the moon and the stars and the clouds return after the rain. On the day when the guardians of the house tremble. And it goes on to give this poetic description of the body just fading away, just fading, fading, fading away, becoming weaker and weaker. Verse 7. The dust returns to the earth as it once was. The spirit returns to God who gave it. Father, that's my history. That's my future. That's the future of everybody that hears this passage tonight. Solomon, bless his heart, at the end of this incredible, corrupt way that he chose to live the last segment of his life, he wisely and generously said to those younger than himself, look, don't be the fool I've been. Don't give yourselves over to things like I've done. There's no pleasure in them. They are destructive. They will not give you satisfaction. Whatever buzz they may give you for the second will shorten what life you have until you step through the valley of the shadow and your body goes back to dust and your spirit stands naked before God, your Creator. This passage also says that we are to fear God and to keep His commandments, that's our singular, most important duty in life. And your commandments are not given to us to make our lives miserable. Every one of your commandments is for our good. Every one of them is oozing with your love. You've been out there. You've been ahead of us. You know what works and what doesn't work. You're the creator of the universe. You know what the judgment is going to be like when it comes. You got all of that, and you want us to do well. See, your commandments are given to us to protect us. They're given to us to inform our behavior, our attitudes, our choices. I'm reminded tonight, Father, in closing, that when the Spirit of God comes into our lives, when God, the Spirit Himself, moves into our hearts as born-again believers, the fruit of the Spirit tells us what He brings. And He brings love. Oh, we all want that. Not just being loved, but the capacity to truly love. Joy. Oh, how we long for true joy. Purposes in life that fill us with joy and peace. Yeah, that's next. Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, patience. Oh, God, those are wonderful qualities. Those are what make life, what make family, what make friendships, what make community, what make marriage full of rich meaning now. They're the things that give you pleasure, as they fill our hearts with purpose, with goodness and grace. Those are the things that we are designed to do. Those are the ways that you shove out all the self-centeredness, sickness, all the pride, jealousies, all the lust, all the stuff that makes life stink. It makes us odious even to ourselves. Oh God, that is ours. It's a gift from you through the person of your Holy Spirit, and He promises to come and live in us and to take those commandments off the pages of Scripture and write them in our hearts, and then empower us to do them. Oh, God, may that be so. May that be so. May we, at whatever stage of youth we're in right now, may we choose now to remember our Creator. Remember who He is and what that makes us. Remember what He has done for us in providing for us a path of righteousness, a purpose and a place of peace, filling our lives with love, joy, peace, gentleness, purpose, satisfaction. All those things that mirror you in our behavior. Thanks for this wonderful book. Thanks for putting it upon Solomon's heart to write it. Thanks for protecting his autobiographical study notes and preserving them for us tonight. Help us to hear. Help us to value. Help us to choose the wisdom that is driving and motivating this incredible report of his life. Heads bowed, eyes closed, just one moment. My friend, the loneliest place in all the world is not hell. It's the human heart without the Creator in control. The most futile effort is the human heart designing things without the control and the continuing enforcement of the Creator. The most miserable place in the world is to be outside, separated from God by choice, and determined to do things that can only bring you pain, heartache, suffering, both in this life and that which is to come. So, Father, call us home to you, whatever our age of youth may be. And speak into the hearts of those who, like Solomon, are in the sunset years, that we not abandon you, that we not lose hope, or that we not lose you in the morass of the malign debilitation that comes with increased age. Thanks for this time together. Bless our participation in this book and bless this book's message to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' most precious name, amen.
King Solomon brought grief on himself as he lived a life searching for God's truth in a fallen world. His advice for us comes out of that experience and what we might call research. We dare not think ourselves wise or too smart for God. Solomon's already been down that road, and he tells us where it leads. If we would be wise, we would listen to his advice and counsel. These daily lessons are available on single CDs, so if you would like a copy for your own home library, we do have those available. We're calling today's lesson, Fear God and Keep His Commands. And for your gift of $7 or more, we'll send you this single lesson. Our complete series on Ecclesiastes is available in a 3-disc set for your gift of $12 or more. We have several ways that you can order. You can call our toll-free number, 1-800-984-2313. Or you can order on the internet by logging on to rightstartradio.org. Our website has an archive of past programs and complete uninterrupted sermons. This daily Right Start Radio program is also available as a podcast on iTunes. Or just write to us at Right Start Radio, Post Office Box 437, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And thank you to those who are faithful supporters of Right Start. Your prayers and your financial support are what keep this ministry coming your way. I'm John Skillman. Thank you for listening in today. Plan now to join us again on Friday at this same time for our next edition of Right Start.